Although when I come to preach, well, I don't know whether I love it or I get a bit frustrated, because very often in the worship and the ministry and Jesus turns up, God has already said what I, everything that I have to say already. And it happens all the time. And it's but that is God's presence and God's Holy Spirit working and bringing things together. And it's incredible. And glory to God. Glory to God. Go on. Probably. Not probably, it is. It is. And nothing to do with me. So, oh God, who does it? I want you to open your Bibles, if you've got them this morning, to Matthew, and that's chapter 6, verses 25. So that's the first book in the New Testament, and it's the first of the Gospels, and it's chapter 6. And verses 25. And I'm going to be reading it through the New Living Translation, because I just like the way that it reads and the flow of how it sounds. Have we all got there? Wonderful. Here we go. These are the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of pagans and unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and he will give you everything that you need. Shall we pray? Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for its truth, and I thank you for the way that it cuts like a knife, Lord. And I just thank you for the privilege of sharing your word, Lord. I am not worthy, and it is such a privilege. Lord, come, may your presence stay, may your presence work in power this morning. And just, you are awesome and wonderful. Amen. So these are the words of Jesus from the Sermon of the Mount. And sometimes scripture can give us two problems. It poses two problems. The first problem is it can be very difficult to understand what's going on, and what's happening, and what's it talking about. We have to dig deeper. And that can be the first problem with scripture. But other times, the big problem with scripture is it can only be too clear what it means. It's really clear what it means. And that presents us with a problem. And this passage is challenging. It is challenging. So I want you to put up your hand if you don't worry. If you don't worry. Brilliant, Betty. That's probably wonderful. Yeah. But why? After what Jesus just said in Scripture, why? It's challenging, isn't it? Well, last week, I was having a really difficult week. And it was nothing disastrous, but I was worried about a lot. And I was worried about work. I had so much to do, and I had a lot of potential conflict and falling out and difficult things that I had to do, and difficult situations. And I just could not get my head around how I was going to fit everything that I needed to do in the time that I had it, and I was getting stressed and I was getting worried about it. And then I'm doing a course, and unfortunately for the course that I'm doing, I love it, but I have to do homework, and it's a lot of homework. It's one of those things when I open it and I think, oh no, I've got to do all that. How am I going to do it? So I had all this homework to do, and I just couldn't figure out how I was going to do it by the Friday that I needed to do it. Lisa would have said, well, you should have started earlier. But no, I didn't worry like that. I couldn't figure out how I was going to do it. So I was worried about that, and I was getting stressed about that. And then also I was worried about this preach, because a week before this preach, I hadn't got a Scoobies what I was going to preach about at all. And I knew I had to do it, but I had no idea what I was going to say. And that was a week to go, which is a little bit disconcerting and a little bit worrying. And there was probably 100 different other things that in their own different ways I was worried about. Yeah. So, I mean, that was my situation. And what I'll do, I'll go back to that situation and show you what God did in it. But does anybody empathise with my situation last week? Has everybody ever felt like that or feeling like that? Put your hand up if you're like me and you worry. Yeah. Put your hand up if you worry about work. Yeah. Put your hand up if you worry about money. I worry about money. Yeah, I worry about it. I get a bit stressed about it sometimes. Put your hand up if you worry about children or family or anything like that. Yeah, absolutely. What else do we worry about? What else can we worry about? Shout out other worries.
Health.
Yeah.
Life,
yeah, pretty much life, yeah. Life, yeah. Well, we get worried about all sorts of different things. But why? Because most of us here would reckon to be spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christians. And this is one of Jesus' key teachings. So why do we worry? Why do we worry? What's going on? So that was my problem. So I'm not going, oh, you lot worry and I don't. It's my problem. So I prayed about it, and God brought me to meditate on this passage in Matthew 6. And you know, Jesus is incredibly gracious and glorious. And in this passage, I realise he doesn't just tell us not to worry, but he points us in ways that we can deal with it and defeat it and sort it out. And that's how good God's grace is. So in this passage, Jesus points out reasons why we worry and how we can fix it. And he starts off by saying, isn't there more to life than food or drink or health or all these things or just stuff? Is there more to life? Do you believe there's more to life, or do you not believe there's more to life? Yeah? Yeah, well, if you don't believe there's more to life, fair enough. You've got a lot to worry about. Yeah, worry. Yeah. But if you don't believe that that's everything in the world, why do we still worry? So Jesus says we worry. This is what he says. He breaks it down. We worry because we forget what God is like. We worry because we forget what God is like. We forget two things about him. We forget his power, and we forget his nature, Jesus says. And Jesus says in this passage, he says, look at the birds that God has created and God has provided for. And then he says, think what his nature is. Yeah, he gives things to the birds. He provides. So the first reason that he points to that we worry is we forget what God's power is. So I want to remind you this morning, I'm going to go through who God is this morning, what his attributes are, what is his power, and then what is his like, what is his nature, what is his personality. And then in light of these cold, hard facts, if you agree with me, I'm going to ask you the question, why should you worry? Yeah? So I'm going to start off with his power. Okay? So first thing we need to know about God, God is the creator God. He's the creator God. He made the birds, but he also made all things. He made the universe and the stars and the sun and the moon and the earth and the solar system and the fish and the sea and the mountains and atoms and gravity and nuclear fusion. And he made every person sat here. And what else did God make? What can you think of God? What else God made? Shout out.
Us,
yeah. God made, you can go on forever. God made everything. Now here's some quick geeky facts about just some of the things that God has made in his creation. The Milky Way, think about this, the Milky Way measures in light years, 100,000 light years across. Right, 100,000 light years across. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. A beam of light can circle the Earth 7 times every second. That's 186,282 miles per second. If you times it by 60 seconds, then times it by 60 minutes, then times it by 24 hours, then times it by 365 days, that equals, get this, 5,874,904,512 miles. And that is how big... I nicked it off Google. I didn't work all that out. But this Milky Way, the Milky Way, our galaxy we live in, is 5.88 trillion miles across. Yeah? And it consists of a billion stars, and there is 100 billion galaxies in the known universe. Get your head around that. That is how powerful God is. Yeah? And if you serve a God like that, with enough power to create everything in the universe, and he's on your side, and he loves you, what have you got to worry about? Apart from him. What have you got to worry about? Just sit and think. He didn't, not only did he made creation out of nothing. Nothing. He's that powerful. What else is he? Well, God is sovereign. So which in a nutshell means that God can pretty much do whatever he likes. God who created everything can use everything as he sees fit. You cannot put God in a box or restrain him. God is not subject to any limitations of humanity or creation. God is not ruled by the rules of nature. The only thing that rules God is his own nature. God can do whatever he wants. He's that powerful. There is no constraints on God. And if you serve a God like that, with enough power to do anything he wants, with everything, and he's on your side, and he loves you, what have you got to worry about? Apart from God. God is eternal, meaning he's had no beginning, he's had no end. He's always existed, and he has always been fully, completely God. And that's why we sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord who was, who is, and is to come. And his actual name is Yahweh, which means I am. Yeah? There never was a time when God was not. There never will be a time where God will not be. God, think about this. God is bigger than time. Yeah? Have you ever thought God created time? God is that massive that God created time. And he sits outside of time. And he's just given us time as his grace to make sense of the world. God doesn't need time. God created time. That big. That big. Is this not working? Yeah, go on. Run. If God is that big, what have we got to worry about? Yes.
So there we
go. Don't worry about just me. Don't worry, no. I'm not. Don't worry. Yeah. So God is that massive, he's bigger than time. Have you ever thought about that? God is that massive, he does not need time. God is self-existent. He does not need us or the rest of creation or anything. God depends on no one or nothing for his existence. He's absolute reality with whom we have to reckon. And the scripture says and points to the fact that God does not need anything that we humans need to survive. So God does not require water, air, food, sleep, money, counselors, supervisors, advisors of any kind. He does not need them. He's so self-sufficient in every single way. With a God like that, do we need to worry? No. God is everywhere. He's present everywhere in the universe. No one can hide from him. Nothing escapes his notice. And he sees every evil thing, but he holds every single tear. Every single tear. There's nothing out there that God does not know. There is nothing out there that God does not know. Just think about that for a second. That is how big and powerful God is. And if your God is like that, what have you got to worry about? What have you got to worry about? Well, potentially quite a lot if you don't know what God's nature is. Yeah? What God's personality is. And Jesus points to God's personality when he says, look at the birds, they don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a moment to a single moment to your life? And he says, look at the lilies in the valley, like Solomon. How gracious God is that he makes lilies, a tiny plant, as beautiful as whatever mankind or Solomon can make. If God cares for wildflowers, how much is he going to care for you, made in his own image? So what is God like? What is his personality? He might be all-powerful, but imagine God didn't care for you in any way. Or maybe God was a vengeful, vicious God. You'd have a lot to worry about then, wouldn't you? But he's not. God is not like that. This is God's personality. God is good. God is good. And the goodness of God is core to our Christian faith. It's because he has a desire to be good. And if he wasn't good, he wouldn't have provided Jesus, his son, to die on a cross. Everything God does is good. And we can see proof of God's goodness all around us in what he provides, what he supplies. And God gave you everything that you have, to your food, the air we breathe, everything. Can anybody think of one thing that God has done that is not good? Can you think of it? There isn't anything. Somebody shout out a good thing that God has done. What good things in your life has God done? We'd be here all day, wouldn't we? Yeah? But that is what God is like. God is good. So if we trust him, and that is his personality, what have we got to worry about? What have we got to worry about? God is gracious. God loves to give good things to his children. He loves to give and give and give. That is his personality. Yeah? God is good. With a God like that, what have you got to worry about? Yeah? God is merciful. God is merciful. God gives us mercy. When we deserve nothing. We deserve what Jesus got. But God is merciful. And with a God like that, what have we got to worry about? What have we got to worry about? Yeah. God has always loved. And again, God is the only God that can actually be the God of love. Because he is Trinity. And before the world was created, God loved. God loved the Son, the Father loved the Son loved the Spirit, and they were love. Yeah, that Allah cannot be love. Yeah, Buddha or whatever cannot be love. The Trinity is love. God is love. Yeah, and God wants to open up that love to the rest of us. Yeah, and God loves each one of us. Isn't that brilliant? If you've got a God with that personality, with all that power, what have we got to worry about? What have we got to worry about? God is all wise. All wise. He works everything out for the good of his people and for the display and enjoyment of his glory. So that involves countless factors and peoples and events and decisions and all sorts of things that would drown the best strategists, but not God. God has got it all sorted out. God has got everything under control. Yeah? He's got everything under control. Now, before I was a Christian, I was an arrogant man. And if you were an arrogant man, part of being a stupid man is wanting to have things all under control. Anybody empathise or sympathise with that with me? Yeah, I love to have things under control. Well, you can't. You can't, but God has everything under control. And you know, actually, secretly, I think most men want to be James Bond or Captain Kirk or Indiana Jones and guys who want to have everything under control. You ever thought about that? That everything always goes right and they've sorted it all out. But actually, you can't. If you're doing that, stop it. But trust God, because he's got it all under control. Yeah? And with a God like that, what have you got to worry about? What have you got to worry about? God is just. If you have been wronged, God is a just God, and rights will be made wrong. Yeah, nobody will get off the hook without a fitting punishment or fitting substitutionary atonement. So Jesus takes us in. God is righteous and just. And if you're hurting and you're facing justice, have faith, because God is a God of justice. Yeah. So listening to all that, what have you got to worry about? Why do we worry? Why do we get stressed? Have we got things in our lives that worry us? Yeah. Jesus says, why do you have little faith? Why do you have little faith? Because when you're getting worried about something, fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, on who he is and what his personality is like. And Satan wants us to forget what God is like. So that's the first thing he says. Then he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of pagans. Who can tell me what a pagan is? What's a pagan? Do they worship the Most High God? No. So who do they worship? Oh, yeah, the sun or idols in the Bible. Idols. And I think very often when we're getting worried, and certainly when I am getting worried, it's because we have idols in our lives. Idols, and that's kind of what Jesus pointed to. And Satan doesn't want us to trust God and think on who he has and have peace in that. He loves to steal our peace, and he loves us to worry, and he wants to take our attention away from Jesus. And when we're not serving or loving God, we're serving and putting our faith in something else. Yeah. So we have idols in our lives, and there's three test questions that we can use to find out whether we have idols in our lives. So we're going to find out, yeah? And when I went through this list, it scared me quite a lot. So the first one, who has an idol of performance that you try to please others, you try to keep acceptance and get approval of others? Who does that? I do that all the time. I love people to like me. I love it. So the questions I'm asking, if you're like that, are you willing to get Are you willing to sin to get approval from others? Are you willing to sin if you think you're going to lose approval from others? And do you turn to approval of others instead of God? And if you do, you've probably got an idol in your life. And you get worried about stuff like that. Who gets worried about money? What would you do if you took all your money away? Would you sin to get money? Would you sin to keep it? Potentially. Success. We've got success. Who likes success? Would you sin to... I like success. Would you sin to get success? Would you sin if you were going to lose it? But do you take refuge in success? Fairness. Hurt and pain. Who lacks an easy life? Would you sin to get an easy life? I would sometimes. I have in the past. Yeah. Can be an idol. Christian marriage or home even. Can be an idol. Having a perfect marriage. Yeah. Do you trust God with it? Being admired or respected. That can be an idol. Being self-sufficient or independent. I'm really bad at that. I am really bad at being... I don't like taking help off anybody sometimes because it makes me look bad. Material things, car, houses. How would I feel if I lost my house or your house or your car? Are you willing to sin? Chill out time. Yeah. Hobbies. Are you willing to sin? Power position. I love being a manager at my job. I have power. I can do things. Worldly pleasures. Drugs, alcohol, food and sex. Who would sin to get that? Gina's nodding. But they're all idols in our lives. And they will damage our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And they also make us worry. And that's what very often we worry about, if you like the pagans. So do you worry about this stuff? When you die, all that stuff is going to be gone. And if you've got idols, they're not going to help you in any way. You can spend as much time as you're pursuing them as you want. And they have no eternal benefit. So why worry about them? Then Jesus says, don't follow idols. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. If you worry a lot, it will take your joy and it will wear you down, and eventually you'll lose your happiness. Yeah? Do you know where you can get happiness from, where your happiness is? All your happiness is in God. It's in Jesus. Seek first God and don't worry. Seek first God with all your heart and have faith. And just have joy. Jesus says, if you want to beat worry, look at who God is, his mighty power, his vastness, his awesomeness. Trust him, follow him, look at him. Take your eyes off the idols in your life, the rubbish, the junk, the what pagans do, and seek first the kingdom of God. And above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Everything that you need. It's a really old kind of written creed, and it's called the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and it summarizes the first thing on it. It says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, and God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And that's the challenge. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And it's all about his glory. And if we want to get more and more and get him more glory, the aim is to be as more satisfied as we can in him. So don't worry about all the other stuff. All the joy that you can have is in the Lord. All the joy. Yeah, and God will give you everything else that you need. Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God. And I promise you, you'll not worry as much. Let me finish just by saying how God sorted me out. The start of the preach, I was very, very worried about a lot of things. And this story is to give him glory. So I was worried about my homework. I was worried about my work. And I was worried about this sermon. And this is just a small thing. So what did I do? I took my own advice and I prayed. And I sought God. And do you know what my homework was? What it was to do? It was look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25. And it was about worry, and to write a 2-page essay about it. And then when I went to work, because I've read the passage the night before, God comforted me and helped me not to worry and focus my mind on what I actually needed to do. And I think to a point, he almost stopped time to help me get done everything that I needed to do. But he comforted me and focused me through doing that passage. And then on the same day, God told me, you have to bring this to the church. This is what you have to preach about. Yeah? On worry and on this passage. God provided. Yeah? God is good. Trust him and all these things will be added onto you. I want to pray for a good God. Lord, you said, come to me, all who are weary. I'm burdened and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Lord, we just thank you that you are the God that you are. You are an awesome, powerful God, Lord, that you hold the universe in your hand and you created everything out of nothing. You know all things. Lord, you are in control of all things. Lord, and you are powerful and glorious and mighty, Lord. And in you, what have we got to worry about? Lord, I just thank you that you are a good God. You are a God that loves. And Lord, there was never a time that you weren't love. Lord, you don't just do love, Lord, you are love. And you love your children, Lord, and you are gracious, and you give good things to your children. You are merciful, and there's nothing we can do that can make you love us more or less, Lord. Lord, you are a provider God, a God that just gives and gives and gives to his children. Lord, it gives them what they need. Well, what have we got to worry about? Lord, send your spirit. Help us not to worry. Lord, help us to get rid of, if there are idols in our lives that are making us stressed and making us worry, Lord, help us through your Holy Spirit, repent and turn from them and seek you and your glory, Lord. Lord, we ask that you give us your joy, Lord, your spirit. Lord, help us be your people who glorify you. Lord, help us give glory by not worrying, Lord, and to seek you and your kingdom first, Lord, and to trust you, Lord, with all these things, Lord, because you are an awesome, amazing God, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you send your spirit and you move again, Lord. Lord, if we are weary, know that we can come to you. We can come to you and cast our burdens on you. And Lord, we accept things will do not always go how we expect them or how we want them or how things are. And Lord, sometimes we can't make sense of things. But Lord, you have it all under control and you are a good God. You are a God that is good. Lord, what have we got to worry about? Lord, we just thank you that you are that God. We just thank you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, Lord, a good God, Lord, our good Lord, Saviour. And we give him all glory and honour. Lord, help us to take our joy from you, Lord. Know that our happiness is tied up in following you and serving you and glorifying you. Send your power and send your presence. And we ask all this for your glory and your honour. Amen.